Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. Welcome, everybody, to the Playmaker Podcast. You've got your host here, Gabe Larson. Today, we're going to be talking about Dreamforce and pitching. For those of you who don't know Dreamforce, big trade show conference put on by Salesforce.com, the leader in CRM software technology down in San Francisco, happens every year. I heard 170,000 registrants. That sounds like a lot. Boy, was there a lot of people at the conference. I went down there, did my thing, had a couple presentations, met with a bunch of people, stayed up late. I still feel like I'm trying to recover from it. But all in all, it was a good time. Thankfully, it is over. And I was reflecting on what stood out from the show, and I wanted to pass that on to you. The first thing that stood out was, God, there was so many people. I must have met with literally almost 100 people who didn't have a badge for the show. I mean, when I asked them, are you not going down to the expo? Are you not doing any sessions? And the typical answer was like, look, the real business is done outside of the expo hall, just here in the hotels. And so why pay the price when you can just kind of reap the benefits? Which is not really on topic for the day, but I thought kind of an interesting trend. You know, when I went to my first Dreamforce, maybe 5 years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago, I think. It was not like that. The floor was the magic. Maybe I was just more junior or something, but it seemed like all the meetings, it seemed like everything was happening on the floor itself and in the meeting rooms, etc. So more importantly, what stood out from the show was how different everybody's pitches were when you were walking around the expo center floor. You know, the truth about how good or bad elevator pitches are really comes out at trade shows. For those of you who haven't gone to a trade show, you know, you just walk around, you see these different booths and people kind of pitch you on their stuff. So the typical day basically sounds something like this. You know, hi, I'm John Doe and this is what I do, dot, dot, dot. What do you do? Question mark. And then the person standing across from John says, hi, I'm Sally Sue, and this is what I do, dot, dot, dot. Over the course of a couple of days, I probably heard hundreds of pitches at Dreamforce. Some of them were okay. Some of them were bad. But, you know, I started to pay attention to people's pitches as the days went on. And I actually pulled out my camera and I gathered about 15 of them. And one of the asks today is to kind of get your feedback on what you think these pitches are. Are they good? Are they bad? So we created a little landing page, Dreamforce pitches. You can find it at http://bit.ly. So that's bit.ly/df17-pitch-contest. God, that's terrible. I'll have to put it in the notes. I'll put it on a blog. Bit.ly, I think you know Bit.ly. So see if you can just remember this part. Bit.ly, bit.ly/df17, that's Dreamforce17, -pitch-contest. bit.ly/df17-pitch-contest. You'll see about 15 of them. You can kind of judge for yourself. But let me go through some of my thoughts on pitching, because I've been thinking about it a lot. And there was three things that really stood out to me on the floor at Dreamforce. And it's something I think you always want to be watching out for when you are hanging out at a trade show. If you hear these things, you're going to probably want to run like hell and get out of there as fast as you can. So the first one, we call the meme monster. So if you haven't heard of the comedian Brian Regan, you need to. You need to go check him out. So funny. And truthfully, the great thing about it is it's not super dirty. You know, some of these comedians, I just feel like it's like, can't take my kids or certainly my wife. And it just gets a little. So Brian Regan, he keeps it clean, but it's still, it is hilarious. So he came up with this term, the meme monster. Well, I don't know if he came up with it, but that's who I stole it with, is the meme monster. And he tells about this story of, I'm certainly not a Brian Regan expert, but from what I remember, it's like people go to dinner, one person tells a story, then there's this meme monster, there's this person who always kind of one-ups that person. So if one person tells a story about, I had to get my wisdom teeth out, the meme monster jumps in and is like, I got four wisdom teeth out, or they were compacted wisdom teeth, and I was out cold for 2 days, and it's always me, you, you know, and it's always kind of this me, you type of measurement thing. It's funny. Seriously, check it out. Anyways, I asked somebody at Dreamforce, you know, what they do. And I swear he said, I started my career 25 years ago. And then continued to tell me more or less his whole life story. I think I cut him off at about 7 to 10 minutes. When it was just like, honestly, like, I don't know what you do. I haven't been listening, but I have more important things to do. So number one, watch out for the meme monster. If someone says, you know, I was born in 1982, 7 pounds, 3 ounces, buckle up. It's going to be a long conversation. Or if they say, I started my career 25 years ago. Yeah. Get ready. Number two is Mr. Old School. This didn't happen at this Dreamforce, but it has happened at other ones. Not other Dreamforce, other trade shows. And that was someone will start by saying, you know, I'll say, hey, you know, what do you do? And it's something about either my grandfather started this company 100 years ago, or, you know, we started our legacy. You know, we really came up with this in the 60s. I mean, something that kind of, it's a little like the meme monster, but the meme monster always starts with I. You know, it's like, I started my career. When it comes to old school, it's like this, they got this pioneer heritage that they need to make sure you understand. And so watch out for the grandpa line. We started this company 50 years ago. It's like, oh my goodness, here we go. A ramble is about to begin. And then number three that I felt like happened a lot at this Dreamforce was Mr. Complex. And at this one, I'm picturing this conversation. He's like, so, hey, tell me a little bit about InsideSales.com. And so I tried to be kind of quick with mine. I'm like, so, you know, tell me about you. What do you guys do? And then he says, and I could just feel like the hair on my back kind of, I probably do have hair on my back, to be honest, but I meant to say the hair on my neck is kind of starting to stand. I was like, you get that impression that the next 15 minutes is going to be a huge waste of time. Then he nailed it, right? He's like, so I say, you know, what do you do? Well's never a good starting word. Well, you know, it's complex. Oh man. If it's complex, yeah, you know, go write it down, because I have no desire to listen to you. So look, a pitch is really, it's just a one-liner. It's what you do in under 60 seconds. I mean, some people call it the elevator pitch. That's probably the more common term. Some people call it the what statement. I just call it an absolute necessity. Now, sadly, not many leaders take the time to have every single person in their entire organization know what their one-liner is, so they can say exactly what they do. Great leaders, though, do this. I really believe it. They make sure everybody, from CEO to the guy mowing the lawn, everybody knows how to explain what the company does in ideally under 60 seconds. Now, there are multiple ways to form your pitch. You can just go Google some, and you'll find almost every training company has kind of their methodology. A friend of mine, Eli Cohen, from a company called Saleshood, wrote a great LinkedIn article. He came out here and spoke with us. We organized an event here out in Utah. And he kind of gave his elevator pitch framework and said, hey, look, this is something that's worked really well. And he does some great work in this area. It's a lot of the design behind Sales Hood. But he's got a six-step process, a problem, a value statement, how we do it, proof points, customer stories, and engaging questions. So he says a problem, start with a statement or question about the problem you solve and share eye-opening statistics. Answer the why. Number two, the value statement. Share a very clear, concise statement of value. Be action-oriented and outcome-focused. Avoid using jargon. Share benefits. Number three, how we do it. Highlight unique differentiators and explain what you do. Number four, proof points. Provide clear reference examples and list out recognizable achievements. Share industry validation and awards. Number five, customer stories. Share customer examples and successes. Tell emotional and personalized customer stories. Make it real and tangible. And then number six, engaging question. Close the pitch with an open-ended question, creating a space to have a conversation. That's good. I think there's some meat. Now this may be not quite your 30-second. If you try to include all those, it might not be your kind of 30 or 60-second. And truthfully, your pitch doesn't always have to be that short. But I like people to have just a one-liner. You know, when I talk to somebody or when I ask somebody, especially on the trade show floor, especially in an expo hall, I want people to be able to give me the one-liner, the shortened and condensed version. Again, 15, 30, 60 seconds seems like it should be max. And then say to me, hey, let me go a little deeper into that. But I want to be able to catch it in one sentence. Oof. I feel like we're never good at that. Now, I did run into a gentleman. I'm hoping that, you know, will become a little bit of a friend. His name is Donald Miller, and he's the CEO of a company called StoryBrand. I need to reach out to these guys and see if I can't get him on the podcast, for heaven's sakes. But I like their message. He's got a book out there. You should definitely go check it out. But in his book, he talks a lot about one-liners, not a lot, but a decent amount. And he gives a four-step process, a little bit like Sales Hood, a little bit like Eli's. But it's a four-step process to really get your one-liner. And he says character, number one, problem, number two, three is plan, and four is success. Now, the interesting thing is I don't have it in front of me. Oh, I could pull it up on my phone here, but I noticed on his LinkedIn, I don't think he follows every one of these steps. So I'm going to give you one example he pulls from his book, and then I'm going to see if I can pull it up here on my phone. But in his book, he says, you know, we provide busy moms with a short, meaningful workout they can use to stay healthy and have renewed energy. So who's the character? Busy moms. What's the problem? They're busy. What's the plan? Short, meaningful workouts. What is the success? Something they can use to stay healthy and have renewed energy. Now, again, I don't know if you have to have every single one of those, but his recommendation is that's the framework you basically want to use when you're building, again, what he calls your one-liner. Now, I was just going to say, you pull up his LinkedIn, you'll see, I don't think he uses every one of those elements. He keeps his a little bit shorter, but I really appreciate kind of his mantra or his picture. You know, he says, I help companies clarify their message so customers engage. Done. I look at that. I help companies. So he's got his character as companies. Clarify their message. That sounds like the plan. Success is so customers can engage. I'm not seeing the problem in there, but I love the simplicity. I love the succinct, and I'm, again, loving the book. You can check that out, storybrand.com. And I'm going to try to get one of those guys maybe on the show here. So, guys, look, there's going to be other models. Those are just two of them. Story brand, sales are just two models. There's going to be others out there, but I don't really care about the model. What I care about, again, is that length. I don't know if anybody can, but I think a lot of people can pitch their company in, say, 15 or 30 minutes, but not everybody can pitch their company under 60 seconds. I love the Mark Twain quote. I didn't have time to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one instead. Sometimes longer is better. Long form landing pages, long form emails in some cases are performing very well. But when it comes to your pitch, you want to have something short, you want to have long. And I think a lot of times, Mark Twain nailed it. I didn't have time to write a short letter, so I just went with a long one. So we go with a 15-minute. Which is fine, but again, I want to see that one line where then you then can jump in and dive in and maybe go to the 15 minute if you really need to. So let's not be embarrassed. You know, what's your pitch? If I was following StoryBrand, and I was literally just popping this out, but for InsideSales.com, I'd probably say the character is salespeople. The problem is not reaching quota. The plan is to use data and science, you know, built into sales applications, and you know, instead of just using gut and intuition. So you've got use science and data rather than just gut and intuition. And I'm trying to kind of – I've been working with this over the last few minutes, so it may not be perfect, but I like the idea. I like the exercise. The success is achieving quota by selling more. Okay, so you put those all in a sentence, just like Donald did in StoryBrand. We help salespeople use data and technology to achieve more. Done, right? I mean, that's fairly simple. Now, then you can say, now let me dive into that a little bit. Now, we have the world's largest database, 100 billion sales interactions, blah, 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 blah. You know, we have this sales acceleration, blah, 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 blah. But we help salespeople use data and technology to achieve quota. Now, I don't know if I didn't really get the problem in there maybe as well as, you know, he hit it with busy moms. We could say we help struggling salespeople use data and technology to achieve quota. But I didn't want to just say struggling. I thought we had, you know, we hit all salespeople, both, you know, people who are killing it as well as maybe people who aren't hitting it there. So that was my kind of quick and dirty take. We help salespeople use data and technology to achieve more. What's yours? What's your pitch? What do you think of my pitch? I think I could use a little bit of work. I think you could use a little bit of work. And truthfully, I think a lot of people at Dreamforce could use a little bit of work. But there were some good ones. So if you have some time, go check it out. I went to 15, 17 people. And like a total weirdo, like a total fool, I just went up to him instead of kind of playing the game. Oh, yeah, what do you do? I just said, hey, I'm just capturing people's pitches. Anybody here at the booth want to give me a 30, 60-second pitch? Then I just filmed them and then walked to the next one. Truthfully, it was a very effective way to see what some of these booths were doing rather than kind of having to sit through. I always like to see the latest technology and what's going on, but boy, I hate to sit through all these weird things. So by really saying you only have 30 to 60 seconds, then moving on, I felt like I got a pretty effective trade show expo center floor visit. So anyways, you can find those videos again at bit.ly/DF17-pitch contest. One more time, that's bit.ly/DF17-pitch contest. So with that, remember, pitches, they are important, and they are play, just like everything else. And you can be successful with just one play. Thus, the statement, success is just one play away.